You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, Wisconsin Republicans are gearing up for a number of tight races this year. We talked to a political expert about the party's strategy for November and for 2020. First, the pursuit of followers on platforms like YouTube, Snapchat, and Instagram isn't just for popularity's sake. More people are trying to make their living as so-called social media influencers. By endorsing brands or businesses to their built-in audience, influencers are adding a new dimension to advertising, and that can mean changes for consumers as well. Taylor Lorenz is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers technology, social media, and internet culture. Taylor, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
There appears to be a rise in people actually making a living as social media influencers on platforms like Instagram. For those who actually do this as a job, where does that money come from?
Yeah, so social media influencers can make money a few different ways. One way is through selling sponsored posts. So we've all seen that with a lot of celebrities who also engage in this type of behavior online. You know, Kim Kardashian will do a sponsored post selling fit tea or whatever, you know, she's shilling at the moment. And sort of lower tier influencers can do the same thing. Another way that social media influencers make money is by sort of working with brands and producing branded content for them. This could be, you know, maybe partnering with Cole Haan and helping, you know, working on a sort of social media ad campaign with the company. And another way they, I wouldn't say they make money, but obtain goods and services is by working with brands to post about their products or services in exchange for free products or services. So, you know, if I'm a social media influencer and I'm working with a shoe brand, I could, you know, post a picture of me running or video and say, you know, love wearing my new, you know, at Adidas running sneakers, buy them, you know, at Nordstrom's Everywhere or whatever. And maybe I got those sneakers for free. Yeah, you can make a very good living this way, assuming you're popular enough online.
So who is popular enough online? What are the qualities how can you spot someone who has the potential to be a really successful social media influencer?
Yeah, so it can be literally anyone who has a loyal and dedicated following. And I when I say anyone, I mean anyone, like old moms, young teens, like people from every walk of life. There are business influencers, fashion influencers, you know, influencers in every single area. Anyone who could work with a brand, like, could be an influencer. Like, the most classic influencers you think of are, you know, fashion and lifestyle influencers, I guess. Those are sort of the most maligned. But it's the type of people, you know, with maybe a million Instagram followers and they're just a pretty girl and they post pictures of their outfits every day and they get free clothes. You know, those are sort of like the classic stereotypical influencers, but there's a lot of micro influencers. You know, say you are a, you know, young woman in Baltimore, with maybe only 3,000 Instagram followers, but you have a really loyal, dedicated following and a blog about things to do on the weekend in Baltimore. You know, you might be invited by a local hotel, for instance, to stay a night for free and, you know, document the experience in your Instagram stories because, you know, they know that your followers are, you know, going to be hyper-engaged in that type of content. So, you know, a lot of people think that you do need, like, a million followers to be an influencer. That's not true. I mean, you definitely have to have some sort of a threshold. You don't really see micro-influencers getting smaller than a few thousand because you do need, you know, some sort of audience. But yeah, it's a sort of a wide range.
Well, I'm hearing a couple different threads there, Taylor. So we've got a defined audience. So like you said, that hotel in Baltimore is probably more likely to establish a relationship with that influencer who talks about great things to do on the weekend in Maryland than they would with some national person that usually is talking about kitchen tools or something. So there's that. There's also, you did mention attractiveness, and there is, there's definitely evidence that being attractive, whatever that means to the audience, helps. But there's another element that I've heard talked about that I wonder about, and that's relatability. Because you say that, like, celebrities can be very
popular and effective as influencers, but I don't think of celebrities as very relatable.
Well, I think certain celebrities are very relatable. I mean, Chrissy Teigen, for instance, is sort of like a powerhouse influencer, and people like her because of her really relatable personality. But you're right in the sense that most celebrities, it's aspirational. And a lot of, I mean, I would say the lion's share of influencers are also sort of aspirational influencers. I think what makes them seem more attainable is the fact that they usually, or their lifestyle seem more attainable, is that they engage heavily with their audience. I mean, a lot of them are smaller and are more relatable in the sense that they're more casual. You know, celebrities, it's like you're never going to be able to get in touch with a celebrity directly. I mean, Chrissy Teigen's probably the exception, which is why she's so relatable, because she responds to fans on Twitter and Instagram a lot. But, you know, influencers spend an enormous time engaging with their audience, you know, taking feedback from followers. And so followers, and we've seen research sort of supporting this too, you know, people who follow internet celebrities who are more like YouTubers, for instance, huge YouTubers, they're more likely to view them as a friend. No matter, you know, that YouTuber could have 10 million followers like Jake Paul, and, you know, his fans still sort of consider him like a sort of a friend figure in their life, even though they don't know this person. So I think it's sort of true, especially with Instagram influencers. If the influencer is engaging, you know, regularly with their fan base, they can seem much more approachable and therefore relatable. And also, you know, a lot of these influencers sort of, you know, aren't living some fancy LA life. They're, you know, a lot of like mommy blogger influencers, for instance, you know, are regular moms in the middle of the country or wherever they may be. So, you know, it is, I guess they are just much more accessible in all those different ways.
Taylor Lorenz is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers technology, social media, and internet culture. And right now we're talking about the role of social media influencers. And, you know, one of the things, Taylor, that you wrote about is that, you know, there's basically no hurdle to announcing that you are a social media influencer.
Yeah.
And that this has actually caused problems for some businesses, because they are being flooded with these requests for, you know, say a free 7-night stay in a luxury hotel in Bali in exchange for 2 Instagram posts, which doesn't sound very good to them. But so how are businesses deciding if using social media influencers is worth it for their bottom line, because it's coming out of, you know, some kind of marketing or promotional budget?
Yep, absolutely. So, like, I mean, exactly what you mentioned, there really is no bar to sort of declaring yourself an influencer. And I think as this sort of class of people has emerged, you know, hotels especially have struggled to deal with it. I mean, a lot of industries are sort of struggling to figure out how to work these types of people sort of into their marketing programs. Because, you know, the best of them are very influential. And, you know, even a lot of the hotels that I spoke to who are sort of overwhelmed with this request were like, look, we still want to work with influencers. It's just, it's really hard to evaluate the ROI and especially evaluate the requests they're getting. So, you know, like I wrote in my story, I interviewed a bunch of luxury hotels that are sort of famously beautiful on Instagram. And so these are, you know, the insane resort in Bali or Malaysia, the types of place you might go on a honeymoon. And these influencers will just, you know, shoot an email, hi, I'm an influencer, like, I want this free stay. And the hotel is sort of left scrambling. I mean, sometimes it's worth it. You know, for instance, a very influential luxury travel influencer who, you know, regularly writes recommendations, you know, it might be worthwhile to give that person a free stay. What's really important is to determine, sort of set expectations ahead of time. So, you know, a hotel, I think a less sophisticated hotel might just let that person stay for free and kind of hope that they post positive things or, you know, see how it is. And I think hotels are now realizing that there needs to be sort of a agreed expectation on the deliverable. So, you know, they might say that influencer, all right, you know, maybe a 3-night stay and you need to post 2 Instagrams a day, Instagram stories. Also, we want you to take, you know, a photography for our marketing materials or, to, you know, shoot a video for us while you're on the property or sort of, you know, maximize their use and really put that person to work while they're on the property.
And Taylor, influencers are really meant to reach a younger demographic, especially those active on the social media platforms most used this way, like Instagram. But does their influence affect even people who are not their followers? Are they changing the landscape for all of us?
Yes. It's sort of crazy how, you know, social media has transformed, especially in-person experiences. There was an amazing piece in The Ringer last year on the concept of Instagram playgrounds, and it's basically little areas that are set up at events or hotels or really anywhere, concerts or around cities that are sort of meant for Instagram. So you'll see hotels now, you know, have a sort of like dedicated area of their garden that's very, you know, sort of primed for social media posting or pictures, and they're really thinking about they're really taking a more sort of like photography oriented approach to design, I guess, and knowing that even their own you know, guests may have influence among their friends, and so they want to make sure that they're, you know, they have good lighting in their lobby or whatever for photographs, and things like that are being taken into account. So it's really reshaped, I think, the world around us, not just hotels, in really kind of interesting and subtle ways.
Well, Taylor, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Taylor Lawrence is a staff writer at The Atlantic covering technology. She was with us to talk about how some people are now making their living as social media influencers.